Welcome back, guys. DGS 305. So tomorrow we do about a one-hour show. I actually won't be here. Wheels is going to take the helm, and he's going to do kind of a very Cardinals sports-centric 1 hour. Then we'll get you into the pregame, get you into opening day at L.A. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I love opening day is like my probably my favorite, second or third favorite day of the year.
Am I just a homer by thinking that we do it better in St. Louis than anywhere else?
No, I don't think so. I think from my own experience, and I haven't been everywhere, but of the places I have seen opening days, and from talking to people that have played all over the league and have broadcast all over the league, the Cardinals opening day celebration, the downtown atmosphere, that's not everywhere, and it is one of the best. I don't think there's such a thing as the best anywhere. Like, best is always subjective.
Yeah.
This one is the best if you love the Cardinals, because it's amazing and it's all about the Cardinals. The red jacket ceremony with the guys driving around the stadium in the trucks, the Clydesdales, the Mardi Gras atmosphere outside the stadium. I've never seen anything better than that.
Cool.
That's not to say that others don't. I mean, the Dodgers, I'm sure, is amazing. Like, they've been there a long time. They're a historic franchise like the Cardinals. They've got their greats that are going to be there, too. So there are great ones all over the place. The Yankees, I'm sure, is phenomenal.
Where are the Cardinals in the oldest teams?
Well, they're one of them. I mean, they've been around from the very beginning. I mean, not the very beginning, but they're one of the early ones, more than 100 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, I knew that, but when you really stop and think about it, wow.
I mean, they are one of the old school, right? It's them and Yankees, Red Sox, Tigers,
when
Reds.
When does KMOX turn 100? Next year, year after?
Ooh, I feel like it's coming up soon.
I think it's 25, because I think it's it coincides with my 25th.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, that is very cool.
Stairway?
Sure. All right, let's... I want to get into this thing that I saw yesterday, because it actually saw it last night, but it ties into what you were talking about yesterday, Dave, about things we shouldn't have to explain to people, right? Like, you shouldn't have to explain to grown people not to look at the eclipse.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to explain to grown people, like, hey, don't try to cross a highway on your feet. Like, just don't do those things. Well, I saw an article that explained these are the reasons why, and this is from this year, so this is not old. These are the reasons why people ignore health and safety rules at work. Okay, I'm going to give you the reasons that they found as to why people ignore those rules. One, they don't know about the rule. So if you're in a workplace that has health and safety issues, right? Like you're working construction,
yeah.
You're working in a warehouse where heavy equipment and all that, seems like a pretty poor excuse to not know about a rule related to your own health and safety, right?
Yes.
Kind of puts it in the category we're talking about with Shohei, right? Like, come on, you need to be taking better care of your own business, right?
Yeah.
Your own health. Second one is they don't understand the rule, but that also falls into that same category, right? If you don't understand the rule, how come you don't ask? Why not seek clarification?
When it benefits you.
Right. These are things for your own health and safety. The third one is they don't know why they need the rule, which, again, seems like it could be answered with a simple question to a supervisor or a boss or an HR person. Like, hey, why do we need this again? You're going to get the theme here as we go, because every one of them is kind of the same thing. They don't think the rule applies to them, which... you know, a lot of people don't think rules apply to them for whatever reason. They disagree with the rule, which is kind of what we see a lot in regular life. Well, I disagree with that, so I don't want to do it, even though your reasoning for disagreeing doesn't outweigh the fact that the rule exists,
mm-hmm.
right? There are too many rules, and damn it, there are too many, so I don't want to follow any of them. The rule takes too much time. Nobody follows the rules, so I'm not going to, and you don't enforce the rule, so I'm not going to do it. Are those not reasons that an 8-year-old would give?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what struck me about all of those rules, is that sounds like what a grade school kid would say to a teacher about a rule. And yet these are answers that adults are giving about why they don't follow safety rules in the workplace. Are we just big kids?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, are grown-ups really just not grown-ups? We're just dumb kids still, and we just... Because if you're talking about health and safety rules, things that are designed to keep you from getting hurt or others from getting hurt, and you're like, too much time to worry about that. That takes too long. That's not a really good reason to put people's safety at risk, right?
I think your question's interesting. I would say that, and I've not lived through any generation but my own, which, by the way, I have a new generation. Have you heard of Generation Jones?
No. What's that?
It's a big thing on TikTok, and it's people born between 1954 and 1965 because I am the last year of boomer.
Okay.
And
okay.
I like boomers, but I'm not a boomer. I'm definitely.
You don't identify as
I don't.
Boomer.
I'm definitely Gen X.
Yeah.
And so whoever created Generation Jones, and it's people 54 to 65, you don't feel like they have a home. They don't belong with the boomers. And it were, defined by all these very distinct things.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of neat.
Yeah.
Having like a sub generation.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, I would say that my parents. You are either a grown-ass grown-up or you are a loser.
Whatever flavor in that generation
that was.
Right, right.
Maybe you drink too much, you party too much, or you don't take care of your family, or you this or you that.
Not serious enough about your job,
yes,
whatever. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Whereas I feel like now the spectrum is way wider. And it's way more acceptable to be quirky.
Yeah.
You couldn't be quirky when my mom and dad were my age.
Do you think... And I just had this thought, so maybe it's really stupid, but do you think that the quirky, as we're putting it, is marketed to more these days? Yeah, because it feels like back in the day, it was like, you are an adult, so here are the things that adults do.
Here's and a carton of cigarettes.
Exactly.
Here's, you know, this
and people
is what
just
you do.
Kind of fell in line. But today it's like, hey, we got this whole economy based around 100%. The fact that you don't want to ever grow up.
Yes.
So then it just makes it easy to stay a perpetual child.
I mean, we made a word called adulting. That
yeah.
Is what you use when
yeah.
You are
but like,
acting like a normal adult.
I'm very childlike in a lot of ways. I still live like a child, played video games, watch sports all the time.
You're whimsical.
But I'm not going to jeopardize other people's safety because I don't feel like reading a rule. Like, the one side is like, I think that's good that we can still be kids and we can still do that. But then there's also like, where's the, I know we just see this in almost every walk of life. Like, if it inconveniences me in any way, I don't want to do it, and I don't care what it means for anybody else. Like, if you're only risking your own safety, I don't really care. Go ahead, risk your own safety. But if it can tie into other people's safety or their job security or whatever, I'm wondering, like, what pushed that off the edge?
Mm-hmm. I think part of it is people feeling like, oh, I don't feel like doing this. And then I also think there's probably a large portion of people who genuinely think they know better than the people who created the rules. Like, oh, this is a dumb rule, so I can figure out my way around this one. So it's almost like I'm the bigger adult than the adults.
Again, my gut is that when my dad was working for Neuter Construction over at Shell most of his career, that if he said, you know what, Mr. Neuter, I have a different way of doing things, and the way I look at it is this, they'd have been like, okay, well, take your lunchbox and go home. Whereas today, there's much more, okay, we're listening to you.
Yeah.
We hear you. We support your feeling that this rule does not apply to you. Like, there's a lot more leeway, and that's just my gut. I've only worked at this job for 24 years, so.
Yeah, it's a constant. We seem to be having these kinds of conversations constantly. Like, this is about the workplace. We could make this same argument about politics. We could make this same argument about economics. We could make the same argument is that so many people just don't care about looking out for anyone else.
Yeah. I know that people are just people, and my dad's brain was the same as my brain, but do you think, I think Rach makes a good point, if in 1962 they would have been really marketing heavily to like, hey, you guys just got back from war, live a little, be weird, be quirky, that they would have just adopted it?
Probably.
Are we that easily swayed?
Probably.
I think it's just more socially acceptable nowadays to be childlike and indulge, like... I mean, that's what society tells us is like, there's this great like reductress article that's like, I'm going to treat myself, says woman who has never denied herself of anything. Like life is about like how you feel and what you can do for yourself. And that just didn't seem to be the attitude.
Living your best life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, as long as that's not, I guess this is the line that my personal line, and I wonder if you guys agree, is I'm all good with anybody doing anything, being who they are, doing what they want, making what they want, whatever, as long as it's not hurting someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's maybe the difference. You know, I think that's one of the differences between a certain group of people at the top of the wealth spectrum. Like, you have to be willing to step on other people to do certain things. And a lot of people are not. Therefore, you're not going to reach that level. But in this case, you're talking about people, like if you're talking about workplace rules, right? Safety rules. These are for you and for the people you work with. These are your people you know. The guys you hang out with at lunch, the people you go out for with a beer, you know, go out for a beer with after work. I don't get why there's no connection there to, like, you know what? We should all have each other's back when it comes to these things.
Oh, this is terrible hosting, but I had an NFL question for you.
Oh.
I'm getting madder, getting pisser and pisser at him. That now, as I understand it, there's going to be at least one game on Peacock and one playoff game on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
I feel like they're really... I don't know. We started the show with, is it a human right to have DoorDash? And I evidently think it's a human right to have the NFL on broadcast television.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big change, right? I mean, because one of the things that a lot of us have tried to do is we got away from cable and satellite because you're paying for a lot of things you don't use. So you wanted to be more specific. These are the things that I use, and that's what I want to sign up for. Well, now you're being put in a position to whether you want to see, do you want to sign up for this other thing, because the only way you can see this game is on this other thing.
But as you've said many times, talk about you could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and no one would care. The NFL doesn't seem to be able to do anything that really affects their viewership.
No, they don't. That's for sure. But again, think of the reality of it, though, because those games are still, they have to be televised in the home markets. So if the two teams that are playing, if it's the Packers and the Bears, even if it's on Peacock, that'll be on the NBC station in those two stations, in those two markets. They have to show that. They have to be available there. But the rest of us are the ones that would have to either get the subscription or find some place to go watch. How much different is that than, you know, restaurants raising prices?
Yeah.
Or anybody else? I mean, we can all step away and say no, but we have proven as a country we are not stepping away from the NFL.
Yeah. I'm talking about how I was at the drum shop today and been playing since I was about 14 and completely self-taught, never taken a lesson. I'll be turning 60 in September and thinking about doing some, hey, I'm turning 60 stuff, and I'm thinking about taking some lessons. And when I get into something, as Rach and Andrew know, I like, oh man, I head first. And so I'm just on my iPad and I'm Googling everything about, you know, who's the best self-taught drummer of all time, trying to make myself feel better. And you know how Google will have like the suggested questions and answers? And it said, can you be a self-taught drummer? And I clicked on it and it said, no. It said, no, comma, playing an instrument is incredibly difficult and the drums are especially complicated. And so you must take lessons to consider yourself a drummer. I was like, F you, Google, like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's...
Anyone know who writes those things?
Nobody. So this is actually, you've kind of hit on something here. This has been a problem people have been complaining about with Google.
Yeah.
Google has been increasingly turning
AI?
Simple things like that over to AI.
Okay.
And then the AI, as you see, just kind of will, like, make stuff up. And
it was really? That's funny, because that's the first thing I thought was, I wonder if anyone has, like, vetted this.
No, they don't.
Because Keith Moon, John Bonham, Ringo Starr, these are all self-taught drummers.
And it'll throw out, like a lot of, you know, ChatGPT will do. You'll even say, like, you know, you know, what happened with the Challenger? Why did the Challenger explode? It'll be like, the Challenger exploded because the people that were on board of it didn't pray enough.
Wow.
And that's what, you know what I mean? Like, it'll just, like, GPT out some nonsense answer.
Part of the problem is it links to one specific story under that answer.
Okay.
And that could have been a blog post that says, of course not.
I'm 59. I'm okay. But if a 12-year-old read that and had their little heart broken, like, well, crap.
Yeah.
Wheels, have you ever gone down the rabbit hole of the Gall-Peters projection map?
No.
Okay, Google that. G-A-L-L. Gall-Peters projection map.
Uh-huh.
I'd never had this in my head before. I just figured... We have maps.
They're, okay. They're
accurate. But because of the way the globe is shaped, the argument for this is that it is the most accurate map available. And that because of the way the map is shaped, the northern hemisphere tends to appear larger and more dominant on modern day maps.
Oh.
And so the way resources are allocated, the way countries think of themselves, the way countries are feared or respected is all out of whack. And it's much more accurate that South America and Africa are much, much larger than they appear on maps, but underrepresented. And I was just like, mind blown.
Now looking at one of those maps, I've seen that before. I didn't know that's what it was called.
I never had.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
It, perspective is an interesting thing, isn't it? Like
yes.
When you're looking at things, because you unless you're in space, you're not going to actually see.
Right.
Right. I mean, you can look at what a camera shows you,
right.
You know, like from there. But I mean, it's, you know, perspective is one of the hardest things to when it comes to visual perception, where you are in the picture, how close you are, how far you are, what angle you're looking at can all be different.
Also, this really got me. 150,000 people die every day. I mean, I knew it was a lot. We have 8 billion people. Maybe that's not even as many as I really thought it would have been.
150,000?
Yeah.
I would guess more.
I would have thought a lot more.
Wrapping your mind around that number, though, is just...
How many babies are born, do we know?
I think probably a little less than that, because I think we're not quite gaining, but I could be wrong.
Mm.
A lot of people are complaining that we're not gaining, that we need more babies.
Elon's
complaining.
Make it less expensive to have babies.
Uh-huh.
That's step one.
Mm-hmm.
And terrifying. Welcome back, guys. DGS 334. Tomorrow's kind of a weird day. It's opening day in L.A. We have a one-hour show. Wheels is going to handle that. He'll be on with Tom Ackerman doing a lot of baseball stuff, then pregame, then the Cardinals opener. And I'm looking forward to going home and watching it on TV. I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. Dave Murray joins us. Dave, Rich Gould says hello. He was just in talking.
Yeah, I saw that he was in. He's a great guy.
Just a
fun guy, great guy. Very enjoyable to be around.
How much time did you guys spend together?
In the studio quite a bit, because he would fill in for Martin and whoever else was supposed to do sports but wasn't. And saw him in the newsroom, stuff like that. He would come into the Weather Center every once in a while. We'd give him a pass every once in a while.
Do you guys have? I know you have less downtime probably than most of the people, because you're constantly updating your forecasts. But you know, during the evenings, would you have much time to sit around and just shoot the what?
No, in the old days, yes, when you did a 5 and a 6 o'clock news, and then you didn't do anything until 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you had absolutely a lot of time. But by the end of my television career, we were doing a 4, a 5, a 6, a 6:30, a 7, a 9, a 9:30, a 10, an 11. So no, there's like, really again? Really again? We have to do this again?
Man, oh man, that is amazing. And you know what? I say this all the time. I watch every damn one of them. I will watch every local evening newscast that there is and hear the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
But I just love
cozy.
It. It is cozy.
It's cozy.
Yeah.
I like to think of myself as
Dave Cozy Murray.
I was thinking about that. In fact, I wrote this down in my notebook and never talked about it about 2 weeks ago. That really wasn't it. What it is, you have to have talent and you have to have the chops, whether you're television or radio or cable. But it really kind of comes down to familiarity and just likability. Like the people who there's a person, I'm not going to say who they are, who is poison to me for no good reason. This person has never done anything to me. They're a fine broadcaster, but I just don't like them much. And so their broadcast is dead to me. Whereas other people who may be less talented, but they're just familiar and cozy. And there's so much to be said for that. People come back to the DGS every day because we're familiar.
Right. Mm-hmm. I always looked at it, in the early shows, like the 5 and the 6, it was like people are inviting me into their dining room, their kitchen, wherever they're eating. And the late shows, it was like, Dave, come on into the bedroom and tell us about the weather.
Hey now.
Please and thank you.
That's when you got really cozy.
Speaking of, Rich Gould's children's book is entitled There's a Snake Down There.
Yep. I saw that. It's kind of like ours where Graham and Jet get wet. It's the same
you
kind
two
of,
need to team
same
up,
kind
man.
Of thing.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Hey, a little medical update, because getting old is so much fun.
Yeah.
I've been a pincushion the last 2 days. I did the PRP injection for my knee, which is the blood they take your blood out, they spin it around, and then they stick it back in. My right knee is one out of the three compartments of the knee. Two of them are perfect. One of them is bone on bone, and so I'm not a candidate for knee surgery. not even close. So we thought, yeah, let's give it a try. And then the most fun is a thyroid biopsy. Mm-hmm. That's great fun.
Neck, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Six needles, actually.
Oh, into my the goodness. Neck.
But everything's fine. Everything's benign.
Good. Are you pretty well deadened when they do that or not so much?
The first, you know what? They tell you, okay, there's going to be five needles. I was just kind of in a, I don't panic a lot, but
yeah.
I was uncomfortable going into it.
Yeah.
But the nurse who kind of gets you set up, she was great. She calmed you down. It says, this sounds really horrible, but it's not. You're going to be okay. And then the doctor comes in to do it and says, okay, there's going to be five needles that go into your neck. And so the first one goes in. She's going, okay, you're going to feel this one. And that's really what they don't tell you is that there's really six needles because the first one is the numbing
to
stuff.
Deadening, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. then, because when you get to I say, okay, this is the fifth one. I'm out of the woods. And then she goes, oh, okay, here's the last one. Oh, wait a minute. You conned me here. Jeez.
But wait, there's more.
I had a really, really bad tennis elbow about 10, 15 years ago. Really bad, and just debilitatingly so. And I was talking to a couple of blues players, and I told them about it. And I said, yeah, they want to do cortisone shots. And these are blues players. And they're like, oh, God, those hurt so bad. And I was like, Jesus, if these guys are telling me how bad they hurt, I'm going to be on the floor. I didn't get it. Yeah. Like, nope.
Come back. I never did it.
They'll come back out and play after they get their teeth smashed out.
Right. But, mm-hmm. Needles.
Don't but that particular one, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm not a good needle guy at all.
Yeah, I'm not either, which is weird since I get tattoos, but it...
Elective needles.
I only like the needles that have paint in them.
Right, pretty much. How are we looking, Dave?
Now, cold again tonight, a light frost freeze away from the city. Tomorrow, cold start, fast warm up, though. We're a good 10 to 15 degrees warmer Thursday afternoon, 65, 42 Thursday night. Friday, good Friday, sunny, 72 for the high. Saturday, partly sunny, 75. Sunday for Easter, partly sunny skies. But I'm going to keep a chance of a spot shower or thunder shower. It looks like mainly late in the day. 75 on Sunday. An increase in shower and thunderstorm activity Sunday night, Monday, and Tuesday of next week. And there could be some severe weather early next week. So we'll keep you up to date on that.
Okay. Rach, headlines?
Yeah, before we do headlines, I want to give a quick shout out to Excel Bottling Company.
Yeah.
They brought us some delicious sody pop today.
Delicious sody pop.
It's really good, Dave. So they are the makers of Ski, so everyone out there is familiar. But this year they have created the Darkest Hour Black Cherry Soda to commemorate the upcoming eclipse on April 8th.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's really good. The glass bottles have labels that glow in the dark, and the four-pack holder itself that you can get is a souvenir because it has info about the eclipse and even a map of the path of totality. Cool. So it's really
love
cool.
It. That's super cool.
And they brought us some glasses.
Nice.
Yeah, like the ones for the eclipse.
Oh,
like
good.
The eclipse.
Yeah. Very good.
Very nice.
Dave was thinking glasses.
Readers.
To pour
they brought
it
us readers.
I like those guys. Yeah. That's a great company.
They're so
Pride
nice.
Pride of Breeze, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Along with my friend Beth.
Andrew and I tasted some earlier, and it's just like the best cherry soda.
Everything
they
I mean,
do. It's a very deep cherry flavor.
Yeah. It's as good as it is quality. It's as good as it can get for
you're a ski nut, right?
I am. I'm an Excel nut in general, to be totally honest.
Did you?
I like all of their stuff.
No, I'm thinking of Wiggins.
Wiggins is the one who showed up at the doorstep of the factory demanding a tour.
But didn't he go, what is it he eats? Not Malamars.
Vallow milk.
Yeah. Oh, I love Malamars.
He showed up at the Mallow Milk place.
He also did that to Mallow Milk.
And they're like, we don't give tours. What are you doing?
It was, remember a story? It was like one like elderly man who was working the like front desk. And he's like, everything's automated, but
he was afraid that Wiggins was going to hurt him. Yeah. And so he just walked him around. That's how we make Mallow Milk.
You know, there's a similar thing to Mallow Milk that I saw and I got for Ryan thinking that he would be really excited.
Not so
much. It's like the same thing, but a little different. And I'm like, man, he's going to go nuts. I know how hard it is to find this stuff. And I brought it to him and I gave it to him. And he was like, oh, it's not a Vallow Milk.
Remind me.
It's really not the same thing at all.
What did I do to him when I
he had his favorite candy that his mom had bought him.
Yes.
For his birthday.
And
for his birthday. Nice. This is shaping up nicely.
You thought it would be funny to steal the candy.
Of course, Wiggins is 4 years old.
Yes, right, Dave?
Yeah, definitely not like in his 40s.
You thought it would be funny to steal the candy and eat it.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Although, in my defense, I'll take the blame, I'll take the credit. It was Columbo, that nasty, dirty Tony Columbo, who had that idea. And he's like, let's eat his Mallow Milks or whatever. And I'm like, let's do it.
Well, you did make up for it. You bought him like a whole box of
it. I did.
Yeah, you bought him, I think, a couple boxes.
A couple cases.
And it was...
He was so hurt.
It was from his mom.
Yeah, it was funny.
Mom's mom, whatever.
He was really hurt, but the hurt was kind of funny, too. Like,
I want to say one more thing. So Carla from Excel Bottling Company emailed us earlier and, you know, was like, oh, I'd love to bring you guys some soda. I just have to read this one sentence from the email. She says, I know Dave and the gang like to talk about food and beverages.
She knows.
You nailed it.
Like, you right?
That is our favorite topic.
It really is.
Food and beverages.
You're right, you're right.
No one talks more about fast food, especially.
No.
Than we do.
We could completely rebrand the show to a fast food show and still do pretty... We wouldn't run out of topics.
We could. All right. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
You got it.
350 DGS, top of the hour. We have Skip Weber coming in, going to do the Sweet 16, one we've never done in 24 years. It's the Sweet 16 of the best songs about non-romantic love. I liked this one.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real team effort, too. Andrew and Rach and I go back every morning when we're going to do Sweet 16, and someone had the idea of, Rach, I think you had non-love songs.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, well, that's a lot of songs. How about non-romantic? So I'm looking forward to it.
It's always fun because you throw out, like, we throw out ideas to each other, and, like, you kind of know when yours is a stinker, but you still kind of maybe hopefully it'll catch on.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like classic brainstorming.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that, because this morning I was at the drum shop, and so I'm really distracted by the thousands of cymbals, and you were sending me ideas, and you sent me one, and I said, keep thinking, and I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it like, keep thinking.
Well, no, because I didn't even take it like that, because I was pointing, like, I was throwing them out to you, and then all of mine, I would add on, like, I'm still thinking, though, because I'm like, this might be a really bad idea.
Yeah, here's an idea, but I'm still thinking. I'm like, keep thinking.
Bub.
Man, I grew up being such a game show kid, and Price is Right, and Bob Barker and all that. And I watched probably my first full episode the other day of one with, Drew Carey. Still holds up, but the people, just the overly excited people, right? And I just, did you guys see this in the show prep, that they have written, what's the word? Not rules or regulations, but
like
best practices if someone pees their pants.
Oh, I saw this.
They have cleaning stuff, and they have sweatpants in three different sizes, and they have three different outfits, because I guess people pee their pants all the time. When they get called, come on down, they start whizzing. And so they have to, like, call a stop to it, clean them up, and put them. If you ever see a contestant in gray sweatpants, they peed themselves.
Very interesting stuff.
Hold on, they're giving them gray, so, like, you can't even get, like, I don't know, like, black or something.
Like Lululemons or something?
Or, like, a more subtle color than, like, gray sweatpants, like you just rolled out of bed.
I watched a episode of The Price is Right on YouTube a couple weeks ago, because it was, like, from the 80s, mm-hmm. and Vanna White was a contestant.
Get out!
Yeah, it was cool. It was really neat.
How hot was she?
Extremely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I saw her last night. She's in her late 70s, I think.
She looks incredible.
She looks incredible.
Mm-hmm. Good for Vanna. Can't
get past the people peeing their pants thing.
I'm with you on that.
Well, they probably been waiting in line for a long time. Well,
what if you do it when you're just in the audience watching?
I hold up your hand, Drew.
They won't let us leave to the bathroom.
Raising my hand like, Drew, it happened again.
Okay, can I tell you guys about this thing I ran across on Twitter the other day that I thought was very interesting? We all know who Mr. Beast is, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Extremely successful YouTuber, just for the people out there who don't know, like, hundreds of millions of dollars have been made from his YouTube channel. He offered some advice for anyone trying to follow in his footsteps. He said it's painful for him to see people drop out of school or quit their jobs prematurely to pursue a career as a content creator. He said, quote, for every person like me that makes it, thousands don't. Keep that in mind and be smart, please.
Good.
I appreciated that, because, you know, a lot of times you ask people about it, and they're like, follow your dream. And that is true. You should follow your dream, but you should also be smart and keep your day job until you can actually support yourself. But I think we've been kind of raised in this culture where it's like, just throw it all to the wind and you'll make it happen for yourself.
Yeah.
I know. It doesn't happen for most people.
Mark Close and I had that famous debate where I think we're talking about stand-up comedy. And he was saying, if you keep trying, you're going to make it. I'm like, that's so not true. That is completely not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can, first of all, you have to be talented. And then even if you are talented, you may not make it, or it depends on what you think of as making it. You may be able to pay your bills.
You may be able to, tour locally or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also saw that he had just inked a deal with Amazon to do his show Amazon Prime. Yeah, Mark Close.
Wow.
No, Mr. Beast. And I wonder if that means that's going to take him away from YouTube.
What is his basic thing?
He just does things big. So it'll be like, I'll give you $10,000 if you don't leave this building today.
Okay.
And it's just like challenges like that, but they build on themselves.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if he's going to move to Amazon Prime, is this signaling like the end of YouTube? Because I keep seeing other articles saying that it's dying down and he's kind of the only thing they have left.